From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. During the past number of weeks, Dr. Cairns has been bringing a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Today, he continues an overview of the brief epistle of Jude under the title, The Abomination of Apostasy. Written by the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jude or Judas, this epistle is devoted to warning the church about the danger of apostasy. The New Testament church was still in its infancy when various individuals and movements arose who sought either to add to or to subtract from the essential message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In those early days, it was groups like the Judaizers and the Gnostics who were the purveyors of error. The passage of centuries has seen other apostates rear their ugly heads. Jude's message still sounds a clarion call. Apostasy is to be exposed and resisted in whatever form it may take. Before launching his attack on apostasy, Jude took time to define the faith once delivered unto the saints, emphasizing that Christ alone is the Savior of sinners. Those whom he saves, he keeps by his power. Then Jude proceeds to show how apostates deny the faith by seeking to undermine the gospel. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, there are certain marks by which God's people may recognize apostasy. Obviously, an army must know its enemy before it can battle effectively. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Seekers, Finders. The text is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. We need our God. He is to be had for the seeking, and he will not deny himself to any one of us if we personally seek his face. It is not if thou deserve him or purchase his favor, but merely if thou seek him. Those who already know the Lord must go on seeking his face by prayer, by diligent service, and by holy gratitude. To such he will not refuse his favor and fellowship. Those who as yet have not known him to their soul's rest should at once commence seeking, and never cease till they find him as their Savior, their friend, their Father, and their God. What strong assurance this promise gives to the seeker! He that seeketh findeth. You, yes, you, if you seek your God, shall find him. When you find him, you have found life, pardon, sanctification, preservation, and glory. Will you not seek and seek on, since you shall not seek in vain? Dear friend, seek the Lord at once. Here is the place, and now is the time. Bend that stiff knee, yes, bend that stiffer neck, and cry out for God, for the living God. In the name of Jesus, seek cleansing and justification. You shall not be refused. Here is David's testimony to his son Solomon, and it is the writer's personal witness to the reader. Believe it, and act upon it, for Christ's sake.
For my sin he was wounded, for my guilt crucified, for my debt paid a ransom. my straying he died, for my acts of rebellion, for my deeds full of pride. My Savior was beaten, my Lord crucified.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
Acts 20, verse 39, the apostle is giving his farewell speech to the elders of the church of Ephesus, and he says, I know that after my departure, grievous wolves will arise. And he warns them about these apostates who, like wolves, will come in to ravage the flock. Galatians chapter 1, and remember, Galatians is one of the early books of the New Testament. It's one of Paul's early writings. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. It has not been long in existence. And he says, I marvel, verse 6, that you are so soon removed. There's already a shift on. Moved from Paul and his gospel to what? To another gospel, which is not another. And of course, we lose something in translation. He's using two different words. He says, this is not just another of the same. This is not just a different aspect. It's not just a different slant on the same truth. He's using another, a different word. He says, this is not just another. This is a different message. It's a perversion of the truth. Then he goes on to that mighty statement. In the light of this, he says, if anybody, if an angel from heaven should come and preach any other gospel than that which I have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. It's a strong word. Paul is willing to place God's curse on any man who preaches any other gospel. He's willing to place God's curse even on an angel that would preach any other gospel. We're living in a day when people get visions. At least they claim to get visions. They come with all the charismatic paraphernalia. And the result of their visions is the production of another gospel. We are told, this is so heavenly, this is so wonderful, this is so beautiful. But Paul says, I curse those people in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse them. Strong language. Now that's not my invention. That's written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, by the greatest preacher the New Testament church had, the man who had the closer vision of God than any of them. I was listening to part of a message of the late Martin Lloyd-Jones, preached here in the States to a Reformed Baptist Pastors' Conference. I think it was a Reformed Baptist Pastors' Conference. So I'm glad the Baptists got a good Presbyterian to talk to them. Though he became a Congregationalist, but now he's better off. He knows better. He's in heaven. That's by the way. But Lloyd-Jones made the statement, and it's very true, that this gospel in the New Testament always comes to the matter of the truth of justification by free grace in the merits of Jesus Christ received by faith alone. That is always the heart of the gospel. And he pointed out that that's the gospel that Paul was saying, if people don't preach it, if they preach anything else, I curse them in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he pointed out that every great revival in history has had at its heart this same message of justification by faith in the merits of Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Now, my friend, put all that together. We are told there's a great revival going on in America today, yet I have never heard one of these so-called revival preachers ever preach on justification by grace through faith. So what gospel are they preaching? What gospel are they preaching? Of course, I have to be honest and say this with shame as a fundamentalist, but I've been in many a fundamentalist meeting and I've listened to many a fundamentalist preacher without hearing them mention the doctrine of justification by faith. So what gospel are they preaching? We've got to be very careful here. There's a line over which we dare not transgress. And I dare not defend transgression of that line just because people are a quote of our party. Paul says, if they preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. It's only one gospel. Apostasy is always threatening the heart of that gospel. Indeed, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that day shall not come except there come first a great falling away, a great apostasy. So much for the notion that Paul believed in an any moment rapture. By the way, he didn't. Because he said it can't come unless there comes first a great falling away. A great apostasy is the word. I've already referred to 1 Timothy 4 and verses 1 and 2 and down to verse 6. He says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. They'll give heed to seducing spirits. This is the apostasy. He deals with this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He deals with it in chapter 3. He deals with it in Titus chapter 1. He gives us that mighty passage in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened, etc. If they fall away, to renew them to repentance. He's dealing not with Christians who fall into some incidental sin. He's dealing with apostasy, the denial of the faith that was once professed, the rejection of Jesus Christ. He deals with it again in chapter 10 of Hebrews, the same apostasy. Peter warns of it in 2 Peter chapter 2 in a passage that's very, very similar to this passage in Jude. We looked last week at the epistles of John, and we noted in 1 John chapter 2 that John says there are now many antichrists, all leading up to the antichrist, he calls them. Anti-Christianity in the church. Not in heathenism. The apostle never spoke of paganism as anti-Christianity. It was apostasy in the church that he was speaking about. And of course in 2 John verses 9 to 11, it's the same apostates that he's speaking about. And he says, if anybody comes to you and he brings not this doctrine, you're not to bid him Godspeed or receive him into your house, otherwise you become a party to his evil deeds. We must expose and oppose apostasy. That's the message. You see, the faith is being denied. It's very obvious now. Let me make a point I have already made regarding Jude. But it's very obvious that when you look at this vast array of scriptures, the New Testament writers were not dealing with minor differences of opinion. There were differences of opinion, and Paul was willing to say, let's give as much liberty of conscience as we possibly can. Read Romans chapter 14 and you'll find that. Paul was not a man to major upon minors. The New Testament is against taking little things and building them up into great things to divide the body of Christ unnecessarily. No, they were dealing with a fundamental departure from the faith. A deliberate attempt to subvert the entire framework of Christian doctrine from the inside. That's the rub. It's from the inside. The apostasy that Jude speaks about is a willful and wicked rebellion against God and His gospel on the part of ungodly men who profess to be Christians. Now, watch it carefully. You'll see that this is a movement that creeps into the church by stealth. Verse 4. Creeps in by stealth. That's the way apostasy always operates. In the modernistic movement, the rationalistic movement, just didn't come overnight. No. There were creepers who stealthily intruded into the church and gradually spread their poison, destroying many. It's the way apostasy works. You see, it has its own agenda. It has its own agents. It perpetrates, according to this epistle, the most abominable actions that Satan can conceive, all with the purpose of robbing the gospel of its saving power and confusing the souls of men to their eternal destruction. You know, that's the reason why the language here is so very strong. If you're dealing with a life threatening tumor, you don't rub it with a little cotton swab and say, now, God bless you. No, you get the most skillful surgeon and you go in for radical surgery and you excise it. And that's exactly what's being done with the cancer of apostasy. The apostle here uses strong language because he's dealing with something that is of the devil. And yet it's inside the Christian church. Notice how he builds this section, verse 4, on through. If I were able, this is where I should have an overhead projector, you know. I really need to proceed to having an overhead projector in use on Sunday mornings. That would be apostasy, wouldn't it? When you get away from preaching to drawing little squiggles. But anyway, you would see. Maybe you'll be able to see it anyway. That he starts off by giving five things. Then there is a list of one, two, three different sets of threes, and then another five. Five, and three, 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 and another five. He's building this deliberately. There's a construction here. First of all, there are five marks that define the essence of apostasy in verse 4. Now, I'm not going to preach in all these, so don't worry. But I want you to see, this is how you identify an apostate. First, they creep in by stealth. They are serpent-like. The family characteristic of their father, the devil, is upon them. They creep in by stealth. There's none of the open honesty. There's no honesty about apostasy. C.H. Spurgeon once said that he had more respect for the devil than for a papist priest. Because even the devil didn't stand up in the name of Jesus Christ and pretend he had power to forgive sins. A lot of truth in what Spurgeon said. But let me tell you, I have more respect for a papist priest than for a Protestant apostate.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.